Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we have been studying the prayer that our Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer. The prayer started with an invocation, calling God our Father, and was followed by various petitions. In fact, the prayer consists of 7 petitions. We have already analyzed 5 of them, and today I would like to come to the last 2 petitions. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These 2 petitions are found in the Gospel of Matthew, whereas in the Gospel of Luke, we have only 1 petition. Lead us not into temptation. The last part, deliver us from evil, is not found in the Gospel of Luke. It is usually understood that Luke has purposely omitted it, because this is a repetition, or rather saying the same thing in different words. And this kind of repetitive style is typical of the Semitic language. Luke is usually avoiding such Semiticisms, such repetitions. So the 2 petitions might mean the same thing. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil mean the same thing. So temptation and evil are to be understood in the same way. But however, many translations we have other ways of saying, lead us not to that test, some would say. Or as in the new RSV, do not bring us to the time of trial. Trial, test, temptations. 3 words are used to translate the Greek peirasmos. Now, what is Jesus telling us? Is he speaking about a test, about a trial, or a temptation? Or what does this temptation mean? When we go to the Bible, we see various temptations and tests. For example, in the paradise, the first parents were tempted. They were not tested, they were tempted, in fact. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the serpent, which is the personification of the powers of evil, Satan, comes to the first parent, Eve, with this question. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" So that is the beginning of a temptation. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." A conversation has been started between serpent and the woman. So the first is rather innocuous, asking for information, arousing curiosity. Has God forbidden to eat of all the trees? And the woman is somehow defending God, saying, "No, we are allowed to eat of all the trees except one. And the moment we eat of that tree, we will die." So she is aware of the commandment and aware of the nature of the commandment and the consequences of breaking it. Now comes the outright declaration of the tempter. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So this is the heart of the temptation, twisting the reality, presenting good as evil and evil as good, presenting God as a source of egoism and evil, and the commandment of God as being motivated by selfishness, as if God is afraid of the independence of humans, as if God is not willing to share a particular type of knowledge, And God is afraid that man might become like him. So this is somehow twisting the reality, presenting God as an egotist, as a selfish person who wants to keep his creatures in ignorance. So the woman is confused by this suggestion or this onslaught of the evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So this is the story of the first temptation and sin. So here the temptation is targeted against obedience. The temptation is targeted to the person to make a person go against God's command to sin against God. And in order to commit this sin, the person is somehow brought into a kind of confusion about the reality, presenting good as evil and evil as good. And ultimately, in the confused state of the mind, thinking that what she or he is doing is good, is committing a grievous crime. And going against God's commandment, person alienates himself from the source of life, and that brings death to the earth. So this is the first story of the temptation and sin. Jesus, when he speaks about the temptation, lead us not into temptation, is intending something of this sort. Another example we can find in the first book of Chronicles. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. Here is an evident attack of Satan on the king of Israel. In Israel, there was a law. They were not allowed to count the number of the people, because the people belong to God and they should not boast about the number, and the numbering of the people might be motivated by various reasons, either to increase the taxes or to get people for military service, or also to boast about the number, etc., whatever it be. It was forbidden for Israel to count the people. And David wanted to count. And this action of David is motivated, somehow incited by a power of evil called Satan. Satan stood up against Israel, and David counted, took a census. It's not that making a census, counting the people, is bad in itself. Every nation does it. And there is also a necessity of counting the people to know various details. But here, this is a kind of commandment asking the people and the leaders to respect God and respect the status of being the people of God. What is important here is David is incited by Satan to take the census. And then he becomes aware of the sinfulness, and he becomes aware also of the evil he has committed. So the temptation is an act against God. Inciting people to act against God's will. It's always to do something evil, not good. And this is not exactly the same as test. For example, God tested Abraham, it is said. In Genesis 22:1, it is said, after these things, God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. And that test consisted in this command: take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Serpent tested or tempted Eve. Satan tempted David. Here, God is testing Abraham. So the temptation and test are not the same. Temptation is to do something evil, and test is something else. Test is an opportunity that God himself provides to prove one's faith, one's fidelity to God. And it's an opportunity to show one's fidelity and also to strengthen one's faith. It is in this sense that the letter of St. James speaks about the test and temptations. St. James, in his letter, chapter 1, verses 12 and following, we read, "Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one." So James is telling God does not tempt anybody, but God tests. And the test of Abraham happens in every person's life. And sometimes this test can be very severe and harsh. As in the first letter of Peter, we read, first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, it tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So Peter is reminding of the tests that might happen in our lives. A test that can come through persecution. A test that can come through various types of illnesses or accidents. Things that happen in our lives that enables us to deepen our faith, to strengthen our conviction that God will be with us, and also to grow in obedience and fidelity to God. So these are the tests. And temptation is totally different. Temptation is to do something evil, and the temptation comes from Satan. Satan tempted not only Adam and Eve and David, even Jesus himself was tempted. We know the temptations of Jesus, summarized into three episodes in the desert experience: the bread, or the miracle, or the power and glory, all becomes object of temptation. And Jesus realized that these are temptations, not mere tests. And this was a temptation to decide his own ways, to choose his own ways over against God's will. God, the Father, has acknowledged him as the beloved Son and entrusted him with the mission of the suffering servant. "You are my beloved Son." And this suffering servant's son is now tempted to take his own way of redemption through multiplying bread or creating bread out of stones or performing spectacular events, miracles like jumping from the pinnacle of the temple, or occupying the entire world by force and glorying in the worldly power. All these have been understood and rejected as temptations. So it is Jesus who was tempted in various ways that reminded the people, disciples, and exhorted them not to be taken by surprise by the temptations. He himself was tested. He himself was tempted various ways. And so he can have compassion with us. So Jesus reminded his disciples that they also would be tempted. And because of that, he was asking the disciples to pray every day, "Lead us not into temptation." And this temptation becomes much more severe in certain occasions. For example, the disciples of Jesus were seriously tempted, and they were at the risk of losing their faith and redemption at the Passion of Jesus. That's why Jesus reminds them at the Last Supper again and again. For example, Luke chapter 22, verses 31-32. "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. Satan tried to sift you and destroy your faith. Again in verse 40, when he reached the place, he said to them, pray that you may not come into the time of trial, that you may not come to the temptation. The same is repeated again in verse 46. Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. That is the RSV version. Temptation is the Greek. So Jesus was asking the disciples constantly, continuously to pray that they may not be led into temptation. But we know that God doesn't tempt anybody. God doesn't lead anybody to temptation. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, it would mean that let us not be led into the temptation. Let us not fall in temptation. Allow us not, abandon us not in our time of temptations. When we are attacked by the powers of enemy, when we are tempted by Satan and his armies, abandon us not. Enable us to resist it and overcome it. So this is Jesus asking us to pray, to resist the temptation, not to be led into temptation, not to fall in temptation. But the temptation comes in various ways. We don't see the Satan behind the temptation all the time. Very often it happens that these temptations are presented as something good. That is the heart of the temptation. Evil is presented as good. For example, there is a normal understanding today, so widespread in almost all the levels of society, that a smaller family is a happy family. We are one and we have one. That's a kind of motto and slogan that is widespread. So in order to limit the number of children in the family, any means is permissible. It is advocated, including abortion. And abortion has been legalized in many states. The pretext that it is no murder is only a right of the couples and especially the right of the woman to allow the child to grow to maturity or to destroy it before it becomes mature and gives birth. So somehow a murder is presented as a right of a person and it's not presented as a murder at all. It is something good for the family and for the society. So when a society can be so blinded, you know, to take outright murder as a good act, then we can see how perverted the society can become and how evil the powers of evil is. This is only one example. And there are so many, hundreds of examples where evil is presented as good and good as evil. So Jesus is asking us to pray to the Father not to allow us to be tempted beyond our capacity. Enable us to realize, recognize what is temptation. At the same time, Jesus also tells that we should not become a temptation for others. We should not become an occasion of sin for others. That's what we call the scandal. And Jesus had given severe warnings about people inducing others to sin. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, we read, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea, causing others to sin. Tempting others to sin is a grievous sin, and it is better, Jesus says, that you die rather than you tempt others. So today we are tempted from all sides. All the propaganda, advertisements, and media somehow continues to bombard us with various ideas and various temptations, and very often it is difficult to understand and to resist. Jesus calls attention finally to another type of test, the last test, the temptation, that can be the messianic or eschatological test, a test that can come through persecution, a test that will somehow lead to apostasy and total rejection of faith. So Jesus is asking, to depend entirely on the Father, to become aware of the danger of the temptations, and to become aware of the power of evil, and to resist it with God's help, humbly requesting His aid. Now let us conclude this meditation on the Lord's Prayer with the prayer itself. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.